Ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to the Neonatal Cooling Study Media Call. All lines have been placed on listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions following the presentation. Without further ado, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Mr. Robert Bach. Mr. Bach, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Welcome to the National Institutes of Health. I am Bob Bach, the press officer for the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. The briefing will be on the forthcoming New England Journal of Medicine paper, Childhood Outcomes Following Hypothermia for Neonatal Encephalopathy. Our briefing is being held under the terms of the journal embargo, which lifts on Wednesday, May 30th, 2012, 5 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The study was conducted with federal funds administered through the National Institutes of Health, specifically the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. Additional funding was provided by the National Center for Research Resources and the National Center for Advancing Translational Sciences. Our speakers today are study authors Rosemary Higgins, MD of the NICHD Pregnancy and Perinatology Branch, and Sitha Shankaran, MD of Wayne State University and Detroit Medical Center. I will now introduce Dr. Higgins, who will begin our briefing.
Hi. Dr. Sitha Shankaran is the lead investigator of this study of the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institutes of Child Health and Human Development's Neonatal Research Network has made an enormous contribution to the field of neonatal medicine. The follow-up study for the cooling trial has shown that lowering the body temperature of a baby who failed to receive sufficient oxygen during the birth process decreases the rate of death or having an IQ below 70 from 62 to 47%. The rate of death was significantly reduced in the children who had the cooling treatment to 28% compared to 44% with the usual treatment. The incidence of this condition, technically known as hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy, ranges from approximately 0.5 to 1 in every 1,000 births in the United States. The condition is not common, and many physicians may go for years without seeing a case. A central purpose of the federally funded NICHD Neonatal Research Network is to provide the means to study such uncommon conditions. By pooling cases from a large number of institutions, it's possible to find enough affected infants to provide a significant number to have a statistically meaningful sample. In our study, 15 institutions participated in the follow-up of children from the original study when the children were 6 to 7 years old. This is a very difficult study to perform. For the original study, the research staff members were on call nights, weekends, and holidays in order to enroll the children in the study within a 6-hour window after birth. Once in the study, each infant required constant monitoring throughout the 72-hour study period. The follow-up study was able to track as well as evaluate the infants who took part in the original cooling study when they reached school age. The NICHD network investigators and their staff worked diligently to complete the study over a 10-year period. The study results are extremely reassuring. Many hospitals with Level 3 newborn intensive care units offer cooling therapies for infants with hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy. They have the necessary equipment and highly skilled personnel to carry out the treatment. This is the first study to show a persistent beneficial effect of cooling in an entire group of newborns at school age. There are several published studies showing benefit of cooling at approximately 2 years of age. Our study provides strong evidence of long-term safety given the lower death rate and without an increase in disability in infants who underwent the cooling therapy who have now reached school age. We are pleased that there is continued sustained benefit from cooling therapy. Now, the researchers in the network and others funded by NIH are conducting additional studies to refine the treatment and find best ways to administer it. Our current studies involve the most effective temperature for the therapy, the maximum period to cool the infant, and the most effective way to bring the infant's temperature back to normal. In summary, cooling for encephalopathy appears to be effective in infants and appears to have no ill effects at 6 to 7 years of age. This information provides a basis for use of cooling in infants who experience hypoxic ischemic encephalopathy. Thank you.
And Dr. Shankaran, if you could say a few words about your role in the study.
So this study was conducted in the centers of the NICHD Neonatal Research Network. We were able to follow 91% of the original cohort of infants who were enrolled in the study between 1998 and 2003. And as stated, we were able to show a reduction in the rate of death or IQ score less than 70. And we selected these outcomes because at the age of 6 to 7 years of age, children can be tested with standardized testing that looks at both the IQ intelligent quotient. In addition, we did do other tests of memory and visual ability and attention abilities of the infants. We found that there was no increase in the level of disability among the infants who underwent cooling. On the other hand, there was the overall reduction in death or cerebral palsy at the age of 6 to 7 years. So we just want to, you know, acknowledge the NICHD for the support to do the study and for all the institutions and personnel who conducted the study and the parents of the infants who agreed to participate in the study.
If our speakers have no further remarks, operator, I think we can open this up for questions.
Certainly. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. If at any point your question has been answered, you may press 7 again to disable your request. If you're using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. Please hold while we wait for the first question. Again, if you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad. The first question comes from Pat Ansep from Detroit Press. Thank you. Please state your question.
Yeah, hi. I must start with an apology. I've been on vacation. I just joined the call 2 minutes ago. So if you prefer, I can follow up later. But my main question is how many children are born with this condition, and I apologize if I missed that explanation.
No apologies necessary. I believe our researchers have an answer to your question.
Go ahead, Sita.
Hi, Pat.
Hi.
This is Sita Shankaran.
Yes, hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
So the incidence of the abnormal neurologic examination that we see in the full-term babies with the lack of oxygen and lack of blood flow to the brain is approximately 0.5 to 1 per 1,000 live births.
Okay. And what do we know causes the condition?
It is usually caused by events that occur around the time of birth. You can have acute events in a mother who had a fairly normal pregnancy, except that just before birth there was either, you know, a cord prolapse or a uterine rupture, shoulder dystocia, maternal cardiac arrest, maternal trauma. So any of these conditions can lead to an acute decrease in oxygen and blood flow going to the brain. And the babies are usually born, you know, very floppy. They don't have muscle tone. They don't cry right away. and they don't react as normal healthy babies do.
Okay, thank you. I don't know if there are other people in the queue. I'll wait to see. Ask questions. I don't want to dominate the questioning here.
The next question comes from Rachel Breuder from My Health News Daily. Rachel, please state your question.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I was wondering if someone might be able to comment on the mechanism of how this this therapy is working. How does cooling the body reduce the risk of infant death or disability?
Okay, so when there is lack of oxygen and lack of blood flow that goes to the brain, we have learned a lot about the deleterious effects really from looking at the laboratory animal models. And when there is lack of oxygen and lack of blood flow, then there are there's a cascade of events that occurs where there is an accumulation of certain proteins, certain amino acids. There is a formation of substances that can be damaging to the nerve cells called reactive species, such as free oxygen, free iron, etc., and nitric oxide. There is a swelling of the tissues in the brain. This can actually lead to necrosis or cell death. So in the animal model, when you compare animals that are treated with cooling versus those that are not treated with cooling, but all the animals have a they have blood supply to the brain that's been tied off and they're given less oxygen, what's been shown is that hypothermia actually stops or slows down each of these events that I just described. And now, since we published our first paper in 2005, where we showed that cooling the body of the term infants who are born, you know, within 6 hours of birth, lowering their temperature, there have been other studies that have also published that have shown similar results of the benefit of hypothermia. And very recently, within the last 2 years, MRI studies done on babies who have been cooled and those who have not been cooled do show an actual decrease in the amount of brain injury among the children who have received cooling. So hypothermia seems to act at different levels in the cascade of brain injury that occurs. And as you might have heard, hypothermia is also used now for, you know, adults who have cardiac arrest and is being used in other conditions in adults and is also being evaluated in pediatric traumatic brain injury and pediatric cardiac arrest.
That answers my question. Thank you.
Comes from Jean Emery from Reuters Health. Jean, please state your question.
Hey there, folks. I just wanted to make sure on something. If you look just at IQ scores below 70, it looks, the suggestion seems to be from reading the study that there was not a difference between the two groups. Am I reading that correctly?
Yes. If you look at only the IQ scores among the infants who survived, those in the hypothermia group, we had IQ less than 70 in 29% of infants compared to the children who got intensive care alone, where it was 33%. So there's a 4% decrease in the hypothermia children compared to the control, and certainly that's not a significant decrease. However, you know, any condition like this one, where there's lack of oxygen and lack of blood flow going to the brain, we know that there is always a high mortality associated with the condition because of multi-organ failure. So that's why prior to even starting the study, we assessed the outcome of not just the disability among survivors, but also the impact of death. So we have what's called a composite of outcome, which is looking at both death and IQ less than 70, and that was considered our primary outcome.
And do you have a sense of how many hospitals are doing this strategy currently, and how much does it cost or the equipment and so forth to implement this?
Well, since 2005, when both our study of whole body cooling and the first international study of cooling the head only using a cool cap, when those two studies came out, the use of hypothermia really started in the neonatal intensive care units, and there's been a large multi-center study from Europe, from Australia, and from China, and all have shown remarkably similar results. Of course, all the studies followed the children only up to 18 to 24 months of age. So in the last 4 to 5 years, the use of hypothermia has become standard care in the majority of larger hospitals in the United States. It's also standard of care in many countries, in the high resource center countries, which are, you know, Europe and Australia, et cetera, but it's now also being evaluated in the less resource countries like India.
And the price for getting the equipment and so forth to do this?
The price for the equipment we used, and Rose, you can correct me, I believe was around $6,000.
Yeah, they're between $4,000 and $8,000 for the cooling device, the blanket.
Okay, so there's no real reason why most hospitals, if they're delivering kids, couldn't.
Well, I think, you know, we both will tell you that the frequency is, as we said earlier, 0.5 to 1. So in a hospital, like the hospital where I work at, where we have 6,000 deliveries, you know, you do see up to six babies in a year. But other hospitals, unless you have a big delivery system with high-risk mothers, you may not see this condition, you know, for a while. So we really caution that hypothermia, although it is, you know, compared to a lot of treatments, easy to implement, it does have side effects, and the infants receiving hypothermia must have monitoring of their core body temperature continuously from the time that this treatment is started. And there should be monitoring of all body functions, of all the organ functions, because babies who have lack of oxygen, lack of blood flow, do have complications resulting from multi-organ injury.
Okay, folks, thanks.
If I could go back to the death question that you asked.
Sure.
We do have a significantly lower rate of death in the hypothermia group. It was 28% versus 44% in the usual care group. And so one of the things that we wanted to look at was, in those children that had been cooled, was there a different rate of disability? And there was no increased rate of disability or an increased rate of lower IQ. In fact, that was just a few less in the hypothermia group that had that had those IQs below 70, as you alluded to. You have to look at the entire population that was part of the study, not just the survivors, because clearly there's a benefit here for mortality using the cooling therapy. And that's mainly what drives the benefit, the overall benefit.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Pat Anseth from Detroit Free Press. Pat, please state your question.
Yeah, a couple follow-up questions, please. Dr. Shankaran, when you said this has become the standard of care in the majority of hospitals, although it may not be widely provided, did you mean this particular therapy for this indication? I just want to be clear about that.
Yes.
That's the standard of care you're referring to?
Exactly. We really have stated in our manuscript, and I believe all the other multi-center trials that have shown benefit have also, you know, published the clear indications for cooling therapy for term infants, so these have to be term infants. They have to have lack of oxygen, lack of blood flow to the brain. They have to be less than 6 hours of age. So it's a very specific group of infants. And we really encourage the centers that want to use this to really follow the same detailed protocol that is available in the published study.
Okay, and if I may follow up with one other question. You asked, I mean, you mentioned that this is also being evaluated for other, for pediatric brain injury. You have the equipment, you have the expertise there at DMC. Are there some research protocols underway where you're using this for other indications, and can you tell us a little about that, please?
Not for any other conditions for newborn infants. We are not, you know, using it, although there are published reports of it being used for other indications, but it's really not been shown to be either safe or effective. There is a national study funded by the NICHD to look at cardiac arrest in pediatric patients. So these are older patients.
Uh-huh.
That's being done throughout the country in certain centers. And, yes, within the DMC, it's being conducted at children's.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. If I could add, NICHD's Neonatal Research Network has two additional cooling studies that
uh-huh.
are ongoing. The question is, if a baby arrives after 6 hours or presents with a seizure after 6 hours of age, should that infant be cooled? And we don't have the evidence base as of yet to say yes or no. It's unstudied. And so we do have a trial ongoing that is recruiting infants who present beyond the 6 hours of age up until 24 hours to try to determine if the cooling is effective beyond 6 hours, because that's an unanswered question.
Okay, and that study is going on right now at DMC?
At all of our neonatal network sites, yes. And then the other study that's also going on in the Neonatal Research Network, which Dr. Shankaran is the lead investigator on, is cooling for a longer period of time, meaning 120 hours instead of 72 hours, and cooling for a lower temperature, 32 degrees as opposed to 33.5 degrees, to see if we can affect more neuroprotection or protection for the brain and optimize outcome for these unfortunate babies.
Thank you.
Again, if you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad. Bach, it appears we have no further questions.
All right. Since we have no further questions, we will conclude our briefing for today. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. This does conclude today's teleconference. We thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your line at this time.